My thought tonight is taken from 1 John chapter 1 and verse 17. Verse 7, sorry. 1 John 1, verse 7. And it reads thus, "But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we'll have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, tonight I'm weak, but you are strong. So, Lord, endow me with your strength that I may speak your word in clarity as you have given it to me, that our hearts may be challenged and our souls may be blessed. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, I want to talk to us tonight for the next half an hour. Hopefully I can crunch it down to that time. And the topic I want to talk about is a very mysterious topic. I call it a mysterious tissue. And when I say tissue now, don't think about the bathroom. A mysterious tissue. And that tissue is in the human body. It is a tissue that has to do with the most mysterious or the most mystery of life. And greater yet, it is the greatest mystery of the human life. It is the greatest history of every believer that know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And that mystery, under that tissue, is the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's what I want to talk to us about tonight, is about the blood of Jesus Christ. We use this term and this blood very loosely. Have you ever heard somebody said, "Well, don't bother me, I'll plead the blood of Jesus on you." Or, "I plead the blood of Jesus right now over you." Or, "I rebuke you by the blood of Jesus." What are they talking about? Do anybody understand what this means? When you said, "I plead the blood of Jesus over you, I command the blood of Jesus against you," or, "I lift up the blood of Jesus against you." Both believers and unbelievers from time to time have come to know that use that term. But what do you think they mean? Or if, yes.
I think they mean that the blood has the capability to wash you clean, take away anything that is not of God.
Yeah, but yes, you're perfectly right. That's what they may mean. But if that's the case, why do they use it to rebuke someone? Follow what I'm saying? People use the blood of Jesus to rebuke. So, "Get behind me, Satan. I plead the blood of Jesus against you."
Power in the blood.
The power? In the blood. In the blood? Okay, sounds good. So the blood has power. Go ahead.
Because they don't understand the scriptures.
I think you're right. And that's why we want to talk about tonight. Is the understanding. So therefore, if they don't understand the scripture now, what do you think as a believer? And I look around here, and from based upon your testimonies, every one of us here is believers. So what do you think is the importance of the blood of Jesus Christ? Because I want us to talk about this to get some understanding, then we can deal with the application. What do you understand about the importance of the blood of Jesus Christ?
It cleanses.
It cleanses? Come on, tell me, that's all it does?
It's life.
It's life? Anything else?
Salvation.
Salvation? Power. But do we use it wisely? How does that salvation applies? Well, we know from the Bible that salvation is a free gift. But how does that, the blood applies that salvation? Mm-hmm.
So when Christ died on the cross, that blood was shed for the cleansing of sin.
Okay. And we call that? What's the name we call that?
Redemption.
No? That redemption is the price. It's to buy back. Redemption means to buy back. But you have it right, but we call it a sacrifice, right? That's right. That's the word I'm looking for. Now, how important is the blood to you and I? How important is the blood to Sister Yvonne and me? There's no remission, right?
So if the blood was not there to, was not shed or made available for us, then we could not come into the presence of God.
That's right. But how important it is to you and me.
As believers, it joins you together.
Exactly. It makes us one. That's the key. It makes us one. And I'm going to show you the biblical perspective, exactly how it does that and what it means to us that will make a difference in our lives as believers. So I want to take us down a little road that some of you may be who have been in the medical field may have some more deeper understanding, because I didn't go to medical school, but I didn't go to Bible school, but I go to the foot of the cross. So I want to talk about a little about the physiology of the blood. It's a big word. Look at that now. And so don't call me Dr. Wedderburn or anything like that. All right. And from my notes and my studies, I make a few notes that I want to share. In the human body, we're going to talk about the human body first. And this human body and human blood is not about animals. Blood of animals, blood of human. In the human body, there are many different kinds of tissues, as I mentioned before. And we define them as muscles, nerves, fat, glands, bone, connective tissues, and a lot more. And all these tissues have one thing in common. That's what I discovered. All these tissues have one thing in common. They are fixed. They do not move. They have what we call fixed cells. Microscopically small and having a specific and limited function in our body. Unlike these fixed tissues, the blood is fuel. It moves. It moves. It moves. And if you think with me through the eyes of the Spirit, you can see where I'm getting to. The blood moves. Now, it is not limited to one part of the body. But it is free to move throughout the entire body and supply the fixed cells with nourishment. And it carries off the waste products and the ashes of cell activity. A process which we call metabolism. All right? In the normal human body, there are about 5 quarts of this blood, this fluid. And this blood, pumped by the heart, circulates through the system about every 23 seconds. Think about that. Every 23 seconds. So that every cell in the body is constantly supplied, and somebody used the word cleansed. And there's something so strange about that. And at the same time, it is in constant communication with every other cell in the body. This blood is most mysterious of all tissues and is composed of scores of elements and compounds and strange chemical bodies that baffled scientists up until today, whose function is not yet fully understood, but all of which have to do with the mystery of life. Why? Leviticus 17 and verse 11 said, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul." That's verse 11. But I jump down to verse 14, which said, "For it is the life of the flesh The blood of it is for the life thereof. So this is telling us something, that the blood is life. You cannot see a living human body that does not have blood. And where there is no blood, there is no life. All right? So we look on this blood, and the funny thing about this blood, which I might mention later on, if I get to it, is that the blood cleanses the body, the human blood. It cleanses our body. But it also nourishes our body. So when I read it in scripture and try to understand it, I said, Lord, help me out here. Then I got something so unique. I take my car and I load it with all this stinking garbage outside because they didn't come to pick it up yesterday because it was holiday. And I take all those dirts and garbage in the back of my car and take it to the dump. And after I deliver it to the dump with my car, guess what? I drive the same car to Walmart and pick up groceries and take it home. So the same car that takes the garbage is able to take food for my family to feed upon. So that, you see, I like these illustrations because I like when the Lord Jesus Christ used to talk about the sheep and the vine and everything in simplicity, because the gospel is simple. The word of God is simple. The Bible said it makes wise the simple. So we don't have to be a scientist or a pathologist, and we don't have to have any PhD degree to understand the word of God. If we read it, we can rely on the Holy Spirit to give us the revelation, the definition, and the application therefrom. So you see, now all is true of the physical body, but all of this points to a deeper and more spiritual truth. It points to the church of Jesus Christ, which is his body. And we are members of his body, and members one to the other. So if Jesus Christ and we are joined together by the blood, and we are one by the blood of Jesus Christ, so therefore, Sister Jean, who I didn't know till I come to Marian Oaks, she and I is more closer by blood than her daughter. Because you see, the blood of Jesus Christ gives a new life. Yes. It makes us one in Jesus Christ with a hope of eternal life. But unless her daughter is a born-again believer, her relationship is secondary to us. And when her daughter becomes a believer, all three of us is equally bound together by the blood of Jesus Christ. So if we said we love our daughter or son in the flesh or any other human being, and we don't love our one another in Jesus Christ, we are a liar. We have to understand, and I pause here to say that where I'm getting at is that we have to understand that as believers in Jesus Christ, we are united by the blood of Jesus Christ. He does not care about our here splitting organization or doctrine, what church we go, or what organization, whether we are Catholic, Presbyterian, Methodist. God doesn't care about that. Whether we are in Zimbabwe, the believer in Zimbabwe, Soweto, in the Congo, in Alaska, in Canada, all of us who are born again in the family of God are brothers and sisters by blood. And the gates of hell cannot come against that. And that's why by the blood of Jesus Christ, we walk in the light, so we'll have fellowship one with the other, and his blood will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We cannot compare the human side. You see, the Bible said he must be born again. When we born again, you think about it. It's like Jesus tell Nicodemus, it's like the wind blow it. And we can't tell where it come and where it go it. So this is the mystery that we are seeing. That is a mystery. And this also is a mystery. These members may differ from culture, creed, or race. I don't care if you are lily white and you hate me, but if you are a believer, you are my brother or my sister. Believers ought not to have animosity, bitterness, or anger about a person because of his color, creed, or race. Because we are one by blood. Now look at this. Let's look back at somebody. Let's look at a man who was called Adam. Adam was of the earth, earthly. When God created Adam, he was just a lump of clay lying on the ground. He was what you'd call a mummy or a dummy or something to that effect. He had no life. Well, I wouldn't even call him he because he wasn't a person yet. He was just a dummy, mere lump of clay lying down there. And the Bible said, and God breathed into him something that was not there before. And that something got to be blood. That something got to be life. And when God breathed that, because the Bible said the life of the flesh is in the blood. You know, it's like the Holy Spirit and faith. Now, God can see faith. Man cannot see faith. Now, God can see anything that even it's invisible to human being. We can't see the life, but we see the blood. Because we see that stream flowing from Calvary, where he shed his blood for our sins. But Adam sinned. And by one man's sin, sin entered into the world. So for over 6,000 years, every human being that is born on the face of the earth was born in sin and shaped in iniquity. None can escape it. Bible said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Because by one man's sin, death entered into the world, and death by sin. So, Adam sinned and lost fellowship with God. That life was destroyed because of disobedience. And that curse came upon all mankind. No, by the blood. That's why I've always said and believed that the flesh cannot be converted. But you see, the problem is with the flesh is that the flesh feeds upon the sinful blood. Because it's the flesh that gives life to the body. And it's the blood that gives life to the body and feeds the flesh. So the flesh will be producing fleshy stuff. So the Bible said, if we walk in the Spirit, we'll not fulfill the deeds of the flesh. So therefore, because the flesh feeds upon the sinful blood. So therefore, Adam had to die. Because the wages of sin is death. And so because Adam died, all of us have a death sentence upon our head. Because when Adam ate that fruit, I don't care what the fruit may be. The Bible says it's a fruit, and that's good enough for me. But one thing I do know, that fruit gave him blood poison. That fruit gave him blood poison, and he died. You know, he lived a couple years after, and he died. You cut a beautiful rose, and you put it on the table in a vase, and you put 2 aspirin in there. It will look pretty for a couple days, but eventually it fade away. And it die. But the tree from which that rose is cut from will still stay alive. So life was separated when Adam sinned. And so the sentence of death. And down through the ages, the Bible tells us that the blood of bulls, Hebrews 9, 13 and 14 said, for if the blood of bulls and of goats and ashes of an heifer sprinkle the unclean, sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge our conscience from dead works to serve the living and true God? So God had to find a way, saints. It's not the flesh. It's the blood. The songwriter said there is power in the blood of the Lamb. There is wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. And the vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. It is the blood that gives us life. We have to understand the meaning of the blood of Jesus Christ, because Adam takes us down a path of destruction. But nevertheless, we don't need to blame Adam anymore like some people do. We don't have to say Adam caused it. We don't have to say Adam and Eve. We don't have to say was it Adam or was it Eve. We don't have to say if they didn't cause this upon us, we don't have any problem. No, we don't have to say. We said, Lord, I have sinned. Have mercy upon me and forgive me, because he offered that free salvation. So the time we people take to blame Adam and Eve is the time that they'll surrender their lives to Jesus Christ. And so that's what we have to tell folks. God wants us to live in that light and in that way, knowing that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sins. But how does it cleanse us? I gave the illustration of the human blood, how that blood flows. Well, the blood of Jesus Christ flows through every one of us. I don't care where you live. I don't care your color, creed, or race. The blood of Jesus Christ is what unites us together. And just like how it flows from my left arm, to my right toe, to my head, the blood of Jesus is flowing right now through all of us, and it cleanses us. If you're in Sunday school the other day, I think it was two Sundays ago, you hear me talking about the windscreen wiper. The rain is falling, the wiper is moving. The rain represents the sin in our lives, and the wiper, the blood of Jesus, keeps cleaning it. We trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ. When he shed his blood, that's why we say, blessed be the fountain of blood to a world of sinners revealed. Blessed be the dear Son of God. For by his stripes we are healed. There is healing in the blood. There is power in the blood. There is salvation in the blood. There is hope in the blood. There is eternal life in the blood. There is everything. God has given us everything we need by Christ Jesus in the blood of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that flows on Calvary. The blood is what gives us power. The blood gives us strength. I don't care how many darts the devil wants to stick me with in my back to make it hurt when I don't want to hurt it. Sometimes you see me moving around. God give me the power to move around. The devil want me to stay still that the dart can hit me. But each time I move, you miss. You miss it and you miss. Because I trusted in the finished work. Because I have learned in whatever state I'm in to be contented. Because when the blood flow, sin died. And I am so glad that the blood of Jesus Christ covers me. It covers you. It covers all of us. Don't succumb to pains and sickness and doubts and fears. Just cast your care upon Jesus. Yes, we will go through the challenges. Because Jesus said, in me you'll have peace. But in this world you're going to have trouble. We're going to have trouble. We're going to have fuss. We're going to have contention because we have an enemy who come to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But Jesus said, in me and through me, you can do all things, because we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. The strength of our life until we meet Jesus Christ is the blood of Jesus Christ that washes us clean. There is wonder working power in the blood. Yes, it's okay to plead the blood of Jesus Christ because you want the enemy to know that you're covered by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. That price was paid. Satan cannot touch that. He tried to touch Jesus, with sinful hands when he rose from the dead, and Mary went up to hug him. But Jesus said, stop, touch me not yet, because I have not yet ascended unto my Father and your Father. Because you see, Jesus had to go to present that spotless, sinless blood at the throne. And that blood today is still there, because in Revelation it tells us that when Satan take railing accusation against us, he pointed the blood, the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Stop there, Satan, oh Lucifer. The price has already been paid. Don't touch Egbert. Take your hands off him, because don't tell me about what he did. Don't tell me about what Egbert did to you. That sin is taken care of. Amen. It's covered under the blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible is the only living book in the world. I like to refer to it as a bloody book, because from Genesis to Revelation flows a thin red line. It starts out in the Garden of Eden, and it ends in Revelation, where it said, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Mm-hmm. Hebrews said, the word of God is quick, which means alive and powerful and sharp as a two-edged sword. You know? So therefore, we got to understand that blood that Jesus shed over 2,000 years ago never lose its power. It gives us strength from day to day, as long as we can trust and call upon it. It cleanses us. It heals us. It gives us strength. It gives us power, the blood of Jesus Christ. And if we believe that, I know you can't see your blood flowing through our bodies. You can't see all those pumps it made to the heart. You can't see, because it's covered by the flesh, right? And you can't see. Maybe if you see it, you'll get upset and you'll faint or something like that. You just cannot see it. But it's flowing. And you believe it's flowing. You don't have to cut your hand to get proof that, see, I have blood. No, if you can believe that we have a red blood flowing to our body, as red as our sister put it on Facebook, for those of you who saw that blog that she put up there about the blood of Jesus tonight, it's the reddest blood I've ever seen. That's a good job. And you cannot see the blood flowing to our body. And if you can believe that blood is flowing through your body, then why can't you believe that all of us are covered and washed in the blood of the Lamb, and it is flowing upon us and within us day after day as long as we live? And if there's anything, we're going to ride on that stream of blood to glory when Jesus calls us home. I want us to understand, like I said, you know, may not to faint, but to pray. But I want to understand, sister, say this, that the blood of Jesus Christ will give power to your son and healing. The blood of Jesus healing. But we have to believe it. We have to live by faith and walk by faith. I always said, you know, like the Apostle Paul, let no man trouble me, because I bear in my body the mark and the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, because I trust in the living God. And we have to look Satan in the face, if you can see him, and tell him, back off. Because I'm covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Don't laugh at me when I fall, because God will pick me up. Don't worry about me when I mess up or make mistake, because I know in whom I've believed. And I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. All because of the blood that giveth life. Amen. Paul declared in Acts that God had made of one blood all nation of people to dwell upon the face of the earth. So whether you're black or you're white, I don't care about your color. Our responsibility is to love one another. Because the more we love and we hug up one another and we can fellowship one with the other, we should not be prejudicial against anyone or any believer anywhere. None of us have a right to love one brother or one sister more than the other. None of us have a right to hang out with one brother or one sister, regardless of the attitude. Look beyond that attitude, because the Bible said love covers a multitude of sins. Look beyond those I hear some name that they call on the radio, it upset my stomach, bigotry, homophobic, racism, and thing. And it's sad sometimes you hear some of the things that come out of believers' mouth against the white man or the different kind of cultures, the Jehovah's Witness, what have you. We're not supposed to speak that. We are human. We get angry. We say things. But we must also learn to bridle our tongue. We must also be able to humble ourselves and let no root of bitterness spring up within us that will bring forth cruelty. We are not supposed to be saying inflammatory things, cursing, swearing at them. I don't care. Yes, I don't like what he's doing. But like I said, in men's meeting on Thursday, I request a special prayer for the president's salvation. And we got to pray for him and not to faint. Because he need Christ, and Christ died for him too. Well, I don't care what you want to call him, but be careful, because the Bible said we should even pray for him before we pray for ourselves. Prayers ought to be offered up for those who are in authority. And when we do that, we will get results. We'll find a peace and we'll get a better understanding that nothing is new under the sun. We have read the Bible and we see the 21 kings in Israel. And let me tell you, all of them sinned. Terrible sins. But God was in control. He raised them up and he put them down. He raised them up and he put them down. Our responsibility is to let the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ permeate our hearts by the blood of Jesus Christ. Cleanse us. Because when we ask God, the blood is there cleaning us, cleaning us, cleaning us. That's what the blood do. It binds us together. It unites us together. It cleanses us. It fills us. It anoints us. It empowers us. It gives us strength. I tell you, we can't say it too much. There is wonder working power in the blood of Jesus Christ. Spend time and understand what the blood does in our body. It doesn't matter. You might take sick today. And you might have to go to the hospital to get blood transfusion. And they may want to find out whether it's, what they call it now, what in a different type of the blood, O positive or what all kinds. Let me tell you something. When we run out or feel that we are running out low on the blood of Jesus Christ, we just got to go back on our knees and go back to Calvary and get a renewed shower. We don't have to go to hospital for the blood of Jesus. Because it never loses power. So we got the blood. You know, the blood flows. Where sin died. And that's what we need to understand. That the greatest power that we have is made possible through the blood of Jesus Christ. When people have heart condition, when they have the blood is not pumping right, or they have to take a bypass, or they have AFib, and all those kind of things. So most of you ladies have been in the medical field. You know what can happen when your blood is not going through the heart and you get blockage and you have to put in. Well, there is no spiritual pacemaker. Spiritual pacemaker is the word of God. Our prayer up on our knees. Because Jesus Christ paid it all. This man, for one time, offered sacrifice for sin. And now he sits down at the right hand of the Father in heaven. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all our sins. I pray that tonight each and every one of us will get a new dose of the blood of Jesus Christ. That we will be refreshed with the blood of Jesus Christ. We'll cause that blood to flow to our human beings, to our minds, to our thought, regardless of the situation. Lord, wash me in the blood of the Lamb, that I may be whiter than snow. It's the only red thing that can wash something white. The blood of Jesus Christ. Sister Sadie's have on a black shirt. Sister Barbara have on a black top. So is Sister Norris. And so, no, look here. I'm not colorblind. I have on a black shirt too. And let me tell you, you know the difference between black and red. But you can take Sister Joan red pants, and you can't wash Sister Barbara black shirt to make it white as snow. But the blood of Jesus Christ washes us white as snow. Let's believe that. Let's receive it, that there is power in the blood and it's available to all of us. And we are all one in Christ Jesus. Knowing that if we can love our children and our grandchildren, our wives and our husbands so much, who are all born in sin and shaped in iniquity, how much more should we love our brothers and sisters who have been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, born again, sanctified, kings and priests unto God, on our way to heaven. Let us believe that. Let us receive it. And in the end, let us give God the glory and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us all stand together and dismissed. Heavenly Father, you are an awesome God. You are an amazing God. God, your blood is so mysterious. It gives life. It gives power. It gives healing. We thank you, Lord, for that fountain of blood that was shed for all of us. To everyone who will drink of that fountain and receive that new life. May your blood permeate us tonight, Father, and flow through us anew and cleanse us from all our sins, that we in turn will share that power and that blood to others, each and every one that we may come across. Go with us, Father. Rest with us tonight, we pray, as we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you, saints.